Well, how you all out there? How are you doing? So wonderful to have you all here and as we record this, and even more wonderful actually to have all the visitors to this website. So if this is your first time in this module, a very special welcome to you. You'll find a lot of meat in this module, for God desires that you and I move into that lifestyle where he describes in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, nor entered into the hearts of men the things that God has provided for them, for those who love him. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So tonight we continue in our adventure in the Word of God. In book 1, we looked at what the promises of God are, what Jesus purchased for you and for me, and how we could bring those into manifestation in our lives once we're born again, by partnering with God, by understanding that if we need something, we find a promise about that something. We believe it, we pray it, and then we speak it as having been done. From the point when we prayed, we believe we received it, and then we continue to affirm it, to speak it as an accomplished fact. For God says, when you pray, at that point it is done. And we do that, and we get the manifestation sooner or later. Now here in book 2, we're talking about partnering with God, not just to get our needs met and to receive the things that he's promised us, but partnering with him to fulfill the calling that God has placed in your life and my life. Each of us is very special to God. God loves you as much as he loves me. God loves everybody. Jesus died for all of us. And there's a calling, there's something that God wants you to do, and a path specifically for you, to move you from where you are, no matter how wonderful things are for you right now or how terrible. God wants to move you from there to a lifestyle that's better than you have ever imagined it. John 10:10 in the Message translation. Jesus came that you might have a life better than you have ever imagined it. And tonight, we take a major step forward in that betterment. I'll have to make up a word every once in a while because it sounds so good. So we move forward into that place of being better. And tonight we look at the 5 baptisms. In Hebrews chapter 6, which is not listed in your notes, and by the way, from here on out, you know, I'd really strongly recommend that you print out the outline or have it available, because it will go a lot easier and better for your memory and your comprehension if you can look at the outline while we're teaching, and also to refresh your memory periodically after we go by it. The subject matter gets deeper and deeper. You know, meats get meatier and meatier. Okay? Not like meteorites coming down, but meatier as in a meaty piece of dinner. Okay? So here we are, moving along in the meaty Word of God. And Hebrews 6, in verse 1, it talks about repentance from dead works and our faith toward God. And in verse 2, it talks about the doctrines of baptisms, plural, and of the laying of hands, and of the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. So, that's a very powerful place to see baptism referenced. In Hebrews 6, 1 and 2. And so tonight we look at them individually. If you recall from the Pentecost of Salvation and from the teaching of the 5 parts of man in book 1, you're a 5-part being, and Jesus came that you'd have the fullness of redemption in all your 5 parts. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. When you're born again, your spirit is recreated. Ah, but then your heart and your soul and your mind and your body all need salvation. They all need different things. So we can work together in alignment to fulfill the calling that God has placed in your life and in my life. So, that takes us to part A. The five baptisms are baptism into Jesus, baptism into Christ, baptism by fire, baptism into the Holy Ghost, and baptism by water. Most believers know about baptism by water. It's the one that's referenced the most. And the baptism by water has a major function for the body. Baptism into Jesus is basically salvation. You're baptized and you accept Jesus as Savior. Baptism into Christ is putting on Christ. It's living with Jesus as Lord. So baptism in Jesus is living after you're born again with Jesus as your Savior. But there's a higher level. It's baptism into Christ, which is living with Jesus as your Lord. Scriptures talk about the regular believer, John 8, 31 and 32, the regular believers, and the disciples. The regular believers are born again by faith. If they die under the age of grace, they'll go to heaven. But the disciples are the ones who continue in the word, because Jesus is their Lord, and they want to know, what does the boss want them to do? So they continue in the word, and the continuing in the word makes them disciples and sets them free. The truth sets them free. So we get set free when we live with Jesus as Lord. It is obedience to Jesus Christ, obedience to the word, that sets us free from all the bondages and challenges of life, including sickness, disease, infirmity, poverty. Now, whatever kind of bondage there is, the word of God will set you free when you continue with Jesus as Lord and you continue in the word, studying it, speaking it, living it. Baptism by fire, in a summary, in a nutshell, is let the fire of your love for Jesus burn all the sin, burn all the chaff out of your life. Baptism in the Spirit, baptism into the Holy Ghost, is the receiving of what was given on the day of Pentecost. The Spirit of God comes down on each person who wants it and who asks for it, comes down upon the person to lift the person to a new level. A new level of power, a new level of prayer, a new level of consecration. To move the person to the place where the person no longer walks by sight, but more and more walks by faith. Faith in the Word, faith in the leading of the Holy Spirit, faith in the voice of the Holy Spirit. Baptism into the Holy Ghost, baptism of the Holy Spirit. And finally, baptism by water, which is so commonly known. Baptism of water, the ramifications spiritually are really tremendous. It's a washing away of your past, washing away of all demonic challenges in your life. When done properly, you know, I might add, that's what it's intended to be. Maybe we'll get more into this in later in this website. But for the most part, the effects that are talked about are more having to do with the body. So, let's look at it a little bit more slowly. So, baptism into Jesus. For each form of baptism, I have five categories. The foundational scripture, which is what is the main scripture that tells you how it happens. And of course, you're baptized into Jesus when you're born again. And you're born again if you confess Jesus a Savior. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the mouth, confession is made to salvation, and with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. That's Romans 10, 9 and 10. Notice the confession of Jesus as Savior, confession of Jesus as Lord, occurs before you change. You call him Lord, you call him Savior before you're born again. It's this action of calling him Lord that causes you to receive him and to be born again into the family of God. It's a question of acting in faith, a question of calling things that be not as though they are. You're calling yourself a servant to Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Before you've ever done anything for him, you were in the family of the devil. We were sinners, which by definition means we're in the family of the devil before you're born again. And so we got out of the family by calling Jesus Lord even before we had changed. Now, the reason why we should do affirmations, even before you see the answer to your prayer, you are speaking it and thanking God for it and acknowledging that it's done, sometimes long before you see the manifestation, calling things that be not as though they are. So the foundational scripture here I use is Romans 10, 9 and 10. And the result is you're born again. John 3, verses 3 to 7 talk about, unless you be born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Okay? The purpose of baptism into Jesus is to gain the kingdom of heaven. You're born again. If you're born again and you're under the age of grace and you die, your spirit will go to heaven and your body into the grave. And eventually you will be reunited at a resurrection. The major impact of baptism into Jesus is in your spirit. Your spirit is born again. It's a salvation of the spirit. John 3:6 says, whatever is born of spirit, whatever is spirit is born of spirit. Okay. The action is receiving Jesus as Savior. So when we receive Jesus as Savior, we are baptized into Jesus and we continue to live with Jesus as Savior our entire life. Very few people ever change their mind and says, I want out of this program. So we're baptized into Jesus, he's their Savior, until he returns or until the person dies. And even if the person dies, Jesus is still Savior. It's just that circumstances have changed, okay? He's gone to heaven, and the body is here on earth someplace. Baptism into Christ. The foundation scripture is Galatians 3:27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. When you're baptized into Christ, you put on Christ. So, result is Christ dwells in your heart by faith. Christ dwells in your heart by faith. So, the baptism into Jesus is primarily about the Spirit being born again. That's the major impact. Now, God changes you from the inside out. You are a five-part being. The Spirit is born again. Now, when you decide to live by the Word of God, when you decide to make Jesus your Lord, when you let the water of the Word wash you, in that the Word says, don't do something, you stop it. If the Word says, do something, then you start doing that. As you make that commitment to Jesus as Lord and start obeying the Word, it starts to change your heart. So the main impact of living with Jesus as Lord, the main impact of being baptized into Christ is in your heart. Now, the primary purpose of being baptized into Christ is to live here on earth in power. Because you're living in the kingdom of God here on earth. When you're baptized into Jesus, and you're living with Jesus as Savior, many people go on with a life that's not changed very much. Those who are challenged, many of them still have the same challenges. They're still subject to problems and disasters and calamities. They know that all these blessings belong to them, but they don't really know how to get the blessings into their life. They know Jesus purchased for them, but how do they get these blessings into their life? What does God want them to do? Much of that knowledge starts to come into being as your heart is changed by accepting Jesus as Lord. So that's the progression. Going from level to level, from glory to glory. Your spirit man is born again when you accept Jesus as Savior, but your heart starts to be changed. And the heart being the second of the five parts, the heart is a part of you that allows the glory of God in you. For when you're born again, God comes to live in your spirit. God is living in your spirit. All of God is in you. And all that power of God is available to come out of you, but it's blocked by the heart. Because before we were saved, our hearts were broken. Part of it set up on God, and part set up on things of the world. But once we accept Jesus as Savior and start to live by the Word, our heart starts to come back together, totally focused on God, and the glory of God in our spirit starts coming out. An example of how it works, if somebody does not believe in healing, that God will heal you, which for much of the last hundreds of years, people did not believe that God was a healer today. Well, that part of the heart is set on something that's not scriptural. And so it blocks the power of healing coming out of their hearts. So people who did not believe that God was a healer, people who believe that the scriptures did not talk about physical healing, could only get healed through doctors and hospitals. Miraculous healing was very difficult for them to get. And if they got it, it was because somebody has prayed it for them as a sign and wonder. So baptism into Christ starts to change us dramatically and start to give us more understanding of what's available to us and start to allow more of the power of God inside us. All of the healing power of God is inside us and it starts to flow out. God changes us from the inside out. First our spirit, then our heart, then our soul, then our mind, then our body, more in words, and then our works. So, the purpose of baptism into Christ, the primary purpose, is you start living the kingdom of God here on earth. You start to understand that you're an ambassador of heaven, that you're representing Jesus on earth, that the power, all the power has been given to you, all the power that God has is vested in the name of Jesus, and you have the legal right to use that name. All this starts to come together and work through you as you commit to living with Jesus as Christ. So the major effect is in your heart. It creates a clean and pure heart fixed upon God. Psalm 51:10. Create in me, Lord, a pure heart. The action is you're living with Jesus as Lord. Baptism by fire. The foundation is Matthew 3:11. That Jesus will come and he'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. He'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. The result is that you become a vessel of gold. In 2 Timothy 2:20 and 21, it talks about a great house has vessels of gold and silver, and of earth and wood, some to honor and some to dishonor. But if you let the fire of your love start to get rid of the vessels in your life that are to dishonor, let the fire of your love burn out of you, out of your life, the vessels of dishonor, then you start becoming vessels of gold, fit for the master's use. The purpose, of course, of living through the ongoing baptism by fire is to really, it stores up treasure in heaven, but here on earth it releases the anointing of God in your life. More power comes into your life. Being baptized into Jesus, salvation, being saved, being born again, is a one-time event. Your spirit is only recreated once. But the other baptisms into Christ by fire and the Holy Spirit, they're ongoing experiences. And you experience them more and more as you get deeper and deeper into the Word of God and more living under the Lordship of Jesus. So the purpose of baptism by fire is to have treasure in heaven and have the anointing of God available and present in your life for ministry and of course, to work miracles in your life for yourself, set you free. The major effect is in your soul. That when you are baptized by fire, and the fire of your love for the Lord is burning out of you all the things that God doesn't want, then what's really happening is you're left with the desires, the dreams and the hopes, the goals, the plans, the ambitions that God wants you to have, because you're burning out all the stuff that He doesn't want because of the fire of your love. And so the main impact is changing your soul. In Psalms, it said God would give you the desires of your heart. And it's wonderful in that we think we have a desire and God is going to grant it. He's going to cause the manifestation of that desire to come into being. It's very, very wonderful. I remember many times, but one in particular, you know, I'm sitting at home thinking, it would really be nice to have some mangoes. A short time later, tap, tap on the door and see somebody bringing mangoes. I mean, it's not a big deal. It's just so in the natural, but spiritually, it's so awesome. It's so wonderful that somebody could hear God's voice and that God would do that to give you the desire of your heart. And the many examples that people have. But I think the real meaning of that scripture, that God would give you the desires of your heart, is that He takes His desires and put them in your heart. So His desires become our desires. And the desires of our heart eventually will change our soul. So all the desires and plans of the soul are what God wants us to have. That's moving into the calling on your life. So where is the soul? And the action is, let the fire of your love for Jesus burn all the chaff out of your life. Number D, baptism with the Holy Ghost. The foundation is, Jesus shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. John 1:33. John the Baptist says, I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water said unto me, upon whom I shall see the Spirit falling and remaining on him, it is he who has come to baptize with fire and with the Holy Ghost. And so that's what John the Baptist saw of Jesus. The Spirit of God came down upon him and remained upon him. Because he came to baptize us with the Holy Ghost. The purpose, ministering the gospel with boldness. Matthew 28:18 says, all power in heaven and earth has been given to me. Now you go preach the gospel. It provides more power in your prayers. Acts 1:8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Acts 2:4, and they were baptized in the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues. More power in your prayers, and you start to walk more and more in signs and wonders. You see a lot of churches, and you see churches where they walk wonderfully well in the fruit of the Spirit, wonderful Christian character, they're loving and they're giving and so forth. But if those churches are not baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, you won't hear them talking about miracles and signs and wonders very frequently. But once they get filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, once they ask Jesus in their heart to be their baptizer of the Holy Spirit, ask the Spirit of God upon them. See, once we're born again, the Spirit of God comes to live in us. And He never leaves us nor forsake us. Every believer has the Spirit of God in us. But the Spirit of God upon us, you have to ask for that specially. You have to want such an intimate relationship with God. And it's not going to happen until you want to live with Jesus as Lord. Because the first step is Jesus as Savior. The second one is Jesus as Lord. And the more you have been going through the baptism of fire, the more you've been living because of your love for Jesus, is the easier it is for the baptism of the Spirit of God to come down upon you. But like all things, it comes through faith. The scriptures say, if you ask, you will receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It is that simple. In fact, why don't we do that right now? The scripture says, if you seek, you shall find. If you knock, it shall be opened. If any of you ask of a father for an egg, will he give you a serpent? How much more would your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit when you ask? So right now, if you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit and praying in tongues, then let's do it based on the steps of faith that we studied in book one. We're going to ask based on the scripture, and then we're going to believe it's done, and then we're going to act in faith. If you study the scriptures out, you'll see the most frequent occurrence that comes into being when people are filled with the Holy Spirit is they pray in tongues. That certainly was the major characteristics on the day of Pentecost. They were speaking all different kinds of languages, known languages, unknown languages. And so let's just do that. If you'd like, just take a moment and ask the Lord to forgive your sins. If you're not aware of any sin, just say, Lord, I'm not aware of any sins. Please cleanse me of all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. And let's repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I desire so much of you. I love you. I want to be all that you've called me to be. And so you said, if I ask you for the Holy Spirit to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you should give him to me. So right now, in the name of Jesus, I ask for the infilling of the Holy Spirit, for the Spirit of God to fall on me, as in the day of Pentecost, that I may function in the gifts of the Spirit, that I may have more boldness to tell people about the gospel, and that I may have more power in my prayer. Thank you, Lord. I believe your word. You said, when I ask, you give him to me. So right now, I declare, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and might. The Spirit of knowledge. And of the fear of the Lord. Giving me a quick understanding of the fear of the Lord and of all circumstances of life. I thank you, Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And now I'm going to act in faith. Just raise your hands toward the Lord. In a gesture of surrender. And then open your mouth and say, Lord, I have the Holy Spirit. I have been baptized by the Spirit of God. And I have the evidence of speaking in tongues. Now, by faith, I want you to open your mouth and speak and make sounds. Don't be concerned about what you say. You're going to trust the Holy Spirit to guide the words. Just any kind of sounds. Just make sounds coming out and trust that God is guiding those sounds. That's a new language He's given you. Proshondo mokosonte kisia la shana maso. Kobro sonte kisia la shombra kasante kisi. Prasonte kosote kisia la shombra kasam. Tio la shondo mokosonte kisia la shana masam. Prosonte kisia la sam. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We just cut it off here. You have total control as to when you speak in tongues and when you don't. The Holy Spirit will not suddenly start speaking through you in a situation that's inappropriate. He will only do what you ask Him to do. And it can be very wonderful. Even right now, I know it's feeling very wonderful, extremely wonderful for those of you who have done this, especially for the first time. I remember I led the CIO of one of the country's most famous companies in this country. And when he received that, I said, open your mouth and speak in tongues. He did it, and he went on for about an hour and a half. I did not stop him. Finally stopped him and said, wow, that was wonderful. That was really good. That was long. That must have been at least 15 minutes. It was an hour and a half. Praise God. So this baptism in the Holy Spirit. The major effect of that really is in your mind. Before you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you find that you used to make your decisions primarily by your mind, by logic, by rationality, by reasoning. You make them based on the circumstances. But God said you should walk by faith, not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. You should walk by faith, not by sight. Therefore, when your mind is making the decisions, you're really not walking by faith. You want to walk by what the Word of God says and what the Spirit of God says. And a primary manifestation of being baptized in the Holy Spirit is that more and more you'll be led by the Spirit of God. More and more you'll be making decisions based on the Word of God and the leading of the Holy Spirit and the voice of the Holy Spirit, and less based on what you're seeing. And that's how you move into major miracles. You see things and all the circumstances says it's impossible. And you say, but the Word of God says this. But God says this. And you speak what God says, and the waters pass, and you get your miracle. So, the major impact of baptism with the Holy Spirit is to have your mind being subjugated to the leading of the Spirit. Think of the day in Pentecost. Day of Pentecost, middle of the day, all these people came out praying in tongues, and they thought they were drunk. They were doing these things that people didn't comprehend. And out of that, look at all the miracles that followed right after that. The action is you receive Jesus as the baptizer in the Holy Ghost, and you're baptized with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, which you just did. Now, we have a lot of outlines on this process and of the different forms of speaking in tongues. There are 7 different categories of speaking in tongues. And as we continue, you know, we'll give you some more pointers on this. Let me finish up the baptism of the Holy Spirit by talking about Acts 19:1-6. Acts 19:1-6. Many people say that once you're baptized, you have the Holy Spirit, so you don't need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's automatic. They believe they're born again, they're baptized in the Holy Ghost. Acts 19:1-6 really shows the error of that thinking. There are other scriptures, but I like this one. In Acts 19:1-6, Apollos had gone up to Corinth, and Paul had gone a separate way, ending up at Ephesus. And there he met some believers. And so he's talking to them and says, have you been baptized in the Holy Ghost? And they said, baptized in the Holy Ghost? We've never even heard of the Holy Ghost. And that brought up a red flag to Paul, because the commission from Jesus was, go into all the world, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So if you've been baptized the way Jesus said, you would have heard about the Holy Ghost. So Paul's question then is, well, unto what were you baptized? And their answer was, we were baptized until John's baptism. And Paul said, well, yeah, John baptized unto repentance. But Jesus wants you baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So he said some things about it, and they wanted to receive the baptism of Jesus. So Paul laid hands on them and prayed for them that they'd receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And the Spirit of God came down on them, and they were baptized in the Spirit. So it's a wonderful, wonderful 6 verses that shows you that even though they were believers, even though they were saved, they still needed the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And as I said, most places where it mentions the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it mentions evidence of speaking in tongues. Tongues is God speaking through you. which comes in very helpful if you have a problem and you don't know exactly what the problem is and you don't know what the solution is. Then the Holy Spirit can pray through you because He knows the problem and He knows the solution. There are many reasons for praying in tongues. In fact, the only place in the scriptures where it tells you to strengthen yourself, to build up yourself, is by tongues. It tells you that in more than one place. 1 Corinthians 14 verses 2 and 4 tells you that he who prays in an unknown tongue prays unto God and not to man and builds himself up. In Jude 20, build yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit, as opposed to praying with the understanding. Part E, baptism by water. The foundation is you to walk in newness of life. Romans 6 verse 4 says, when you're baptized in water, you're baptized into a newness of life. You are baptized into Jesus, and when you come out of the water, you've been baptized into his death, and as you come out of the water, you're coming out of the water into newness of life. And just as the Spirit raised Jesus into a newness of life, so you're also raised up into a newness of life. The primary result of baptism by water is salvation of the body. Galatians 3 verses 2 and 3 says, how did you get saved? How did you get saved? It wasn't by the law. It was by the leading of the Holy Spirit. And just so as you're saved, Spirit is saved by faith through the power of the Holy Spirit, you couldn't have saved yourself. And just as you couldn't save yourself, you can't get your body healed and your life perfect by yourself. It has to be by faith through the power of the Holy Spirit. Same process. So it's salvation of the body and the rest of your being, but primarily the emphasis is on the body. Purpose is to walk in health, wealth, and all the benefits of your redemption. To walk in health, wealth, and all the benefits of your redemption. In other words, Jesus purchased for you with his body and blood everything you and I need for life and godliness. We start the process of manifesting in our life those aspects of our salvation package which primarily affect the body. We start the process by being baptized in water. It's really hard to walk in health divinely without needing doctors and medicine if you're not water baptized. In fact, it's probably impossible. Mark 16:16 is a very important scripture. Throughout the scriptures, we see scriptures that say, you know, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You call upon the name of the Lord and you and your household shall be saved. And in most places, it simply talks about the speaking of the word. Romans 10, 9 and 10, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. But here, it's telling you, you must be baptized with water. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. So the question is, how come the other place that says they shall be saved just by calling on the Lord, and this one says, he that's baptized, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved? Because this is referring now to the processes of baptism. It's clearly telling you, being saved is not just being born again. You call upon the Lord, as in Romans 10, 9 and 10, you'll be born again. But the process remains for all of your being to be saved, to be restored to that fullness of redemption we talked about. And the starting point for that is baptism in water. So, the water is the beginning of the process of washing away the bruising of the body. All the sin, all the pain, all the sicknesses and diseases are washed away, starting with the water and continuing as we live the other four baptisms, living with Jesus as Lord, and letting the fire of your love burn away the sins and the chaff in your life, and walking and being led by the Spirit of God. Let me summarize this up, okay? The action of baptism by water is receiving Jesus as your new life. And I want to show you that in Luke 4:18. Luke 4:18. Jesus spoke in the temple, and he read the scripture, and then he said, "This day is that fulfilled in your eyes, in your life. This day is fulfilled before you." And what he read was this: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, recover your sight to the blind, heal those who are bruised." The 5 points. The 5 points correspond to the 5 parts of our being, which corresponds to the 5 baptisms we're talking about. You came to preach the gospel to the poor. The poor is personal, as a person is going to hell. The poor in spirit. First, you had to get people saved. Secondly, to change the rest of their lives, once they're saved, their heart must be restored to God. Heal the broken heart. So the heart is no longer broken, part towards God and part towards the devil of the world. Heal the brokenhearted. If you do those things, you can deliver the captive souls. For the scripture says our souls have been taken captive by the enemy. Because all the goals, all the desires and hopes and goals, plans and ambitions of the souls, before we were born again, they're carnal, they're worldly, they're sinful. There are a lot of things, but one thing they're not is focus on God, because you're not born again. And then once you are born again, once your heart is more set up on God, and your goals, your soul is getting set free, then your mind can now start being led by the Spirit of God and by the Word of God. And once those come into place, then all the bruising of your body goes away. Those 4 paths, being in alignment, will allow the glory of God in you, the healing power of the Lord in you, to flow from your spirit through your heart, through your soul, through your mind, through your works into your body, through your words into your body. So when you say, "I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus," the anointing that is coming from the Spirit of God inside you, it's coming out of your heart because you believe it, because the Word of God says you've been healed. And it says you've been healed. Scripture says your tongue teaches your soul. When your tongue is saying you've been healed by the stripes of Jesus, the soul now sets that as a goal and believes it. And the scripture says, 3 John 2, that you prosper and you're being helped even as your soul prospers. As your soul prospers, so would your body line up. And then so would your finances. The power of 5 baptisms. The power of 5 baptisms. Have your heart be born again. Have your heart be set up in God. Have your mind and your tongue be led by the Word of God to set your soul free. And as your soul is set free, healing and finances come to your body. That's a small introduction into the power of 5 baptisms. Thank you for participating. I hope you take time to take this outline and review it, and on your own, dig even further into the 5 baptisms. God bless you all. Thank you for participating.